Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of your favorite Falcons fan site, The Falcoholic. I am DW, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Gina Madeline Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. And today, joining us for this quick pod is one of the writers at The Falcoholic. He's one of our draft gurus, does a fantastic job, has done a fantastic job this offseason with draft coverage. And that is none other than Eric Robinson himself. Eric, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
All right. Let's just jump into it. We're going to talk about the Falcons' day three 2018 NFL draft picks. So let's start with the fourth round pick that the Falcons have brought in, and that is a running back by the name of Ito Smith. Funny story behind his name, he was actually named after Judge Ito way back in, well, I guess that was the early 2000s with...
No, this would have been 1996. Wow. Yeah, 1996, maybe it was 94. Well, the actual trial was later. The actual trial would have been my sophomore year in college, which would have been 96. You know, what the murder was 94, and then the white Bronco situation was 94. I know all these things because I was in late high school and early college when this kid was a literal infant, which is troubling.
Exactly. This, I think some people were a little bit surprised by this pick. So quick rundown of some of his stats. He's a little bit shorter running back. I think he's he's like an undersized Devonta Freeman is sort of what I've heard. It's sort of elusive, talented rusher. Some of the, you know, keywords we're hearing about him is
he's actually bigger than Devonta Freeman, though. You got to remember Devonta Freeman is an undersized Devonta Freeman.
Whoops.
I would say the main difference, Ito Smith is actually, when we were putting together combine storylines for, you know, this past combine, at SB Nation, Ito Smith was one of the players that I stumbled upon, and I watched some tape, and by tape I mean YouTube highlights. Like, I'm not one of these people who acts like I'm some kind of tape grinder. Like, I watched some YouTube highlights of this kid, and I was really impressed. He's very well-rounded. Despite being a little bit undersized, he's kind of a fearless blocker, and blocking a lot of times is the biggest learning curve for running backs coming out of college and hitting the NFL. And then he's just a really well-rounded receiver and rusher. He had, you know, 1300 some yards from rushing yards last year, and I forget how many receiving yards, but he was good. And so I think he's a player that I was genuinely excited about coming into the draft, and I'm thrilled the Falcons landed him.
So Eric, what are your thoughts on their fourth round selection, Ito Smith?
Well, Ito is pretty much Devonta Freeman with a little bit more speed. That's basically what it is. The vision compares between the two, the elusiveness, the shiftiness. You know, these two guys, their game is predicated off, not running you over or not, you know, winning foot races, but they pretty much make their, you know, their bread and butter off seeing tacklers and avoiding them. And that's where the two have a lot of similarity. So it was a surprising pick because, in my opinion, I think there were better running backs on the board than Ito. But I get it. And he's going to provide some depth for him this year. We heard his name may get floated around a little bit for returner. But it's a solid pick. He's a solid back, very productive back. If you go back and look at his numbers, this guy put up numbers. One game film that I did watch was this past bowl game against Florida State this year, which is a good barometer against NFL talent, and he held his own. So he's pretty much Devonta Freeman with a little bit more speed.
Yeah, and I think the words you mentioned, vision, and also so patience as a runner, those are historically traits that translate well from the college game to the NFL, as we saw with Devonta Freeman. So I think there's some hope that, you know, he's going to be a potential, you know, sleeper candidate for one of the better players out of this draft class. We'll see. You know, right. I think as with many of the players in this draft class for the Falcons, there is not an immediate need for him to start, which I think will help with the learning process and easing these guys into the NFL. So that's good news for him. Let's move on to the next pick. This one I think was really interesting because the Falcons actually they didn't have a fifth round pick. So with the fifth round pick, the Falcons selected Ty Sombreo. So we're gonna. Oh, that's still painful to think about.
It is.
But in the sixth round, they actually orchestrated the only trade for the Falcons in this draft class, and it was Dimitroff giving up the 2 7th rounders that the Falcons had and nabbing a sixth rounder from the Los Angeles Rams. And with that pick, they selected out of LSU, a college that the Falcons never draft out of LSU, wide receiver Russell Gage. Very intriguing. A lot of interest in where this guy is going to contribute. So, Eric, I'll start with you first on this guy. What was your thought about the pick of Gage, and how do you think he's going to fit into this team?
It was somewhat puzzling, honestly. Gage doesn't really have much of a resume as a receiver. He joined LSU back in 2014 as a defensive back. And he recently, in 2017, this was his first season where he actually had actual, you know, reps and production as a receiver. He caught 28 balls this past season, which is not bad for a guy that's, you know, only been playing receiver for 2 years. But when it comes to athletic traits, he checks the boxes, and he's exactly what they look for when it comes to being a part of the Brotherhood in Atlanta. He brings the speed, the athleticism is there, the quickness is there. He just needs time. I think right now he's going to be a special teams guy, and with what he brings to the table, he's a good injection of athleticism to the special teams unit, which was sorely missed last season.
Ah, great point. Gina, what are your thoughts on Russell Gage?
You know, I think he's really versatile. I think he has a lot of potential on special teams. I mean, he's the guy that we could see as a gunner or potentially as a returner. Return specialist is, you know, a role that the Falcons need to figure out. And so I think that they added several options in this draft who could fill that. I like the speed. I like the versatility. I like the fact that he's played on both sides of the ball. I think that that's kind of interesting since we have a receivers coach who started off on the other side of the ball, you know?
Yeah. Point.
So, and he said in his post-draft interview with the Atlanta media that he approaches the wide receiver position like a defensive back, which is very interesting. And it's certainly something that they tried to infuse on that side of the ball when they hired Raheem to do that. So yeah, I think that it's interesting.
Yeah. And go ahead, Eric.
If there's one thing I wanted to point out, Matt Miller, the writer, NFL draft columnist for Bleacher Report, actually did a scouting report on him, and he compared him to Jarvis Landry. So if there's anyone that wants to take something away from it, this guy, Matt Miller had a fourth round grade on him.
Hey,
compared him to Jarvis Landry. So, I mean, that's something to look out for.
Yeah. And by all accounts, this guy is addicted to football. He's got that sort of vicious attitude you want to see in a football player. So for those who are, big on that kind of thing, he is apparently here's the quote from NFL.com, infectious style of play and loves to get it. He's a dog on special teams. I love watching his tape because you can just see how much he loves to play.
That is Dan Quinn's kind of player.
That almost seemed like Dan Quinn wrote that quote.
It does sound that way.
He may very well have written that quote, you know, anonymously. But I think, you know, Eric, as you point out, more than likely, I think people are forgetting this when we think about some of these draft picks, but there's, there's a multifaceted approach here. Don't underestimate the need the Falcons have on special teams. They suffered. They were not as good of a special teams unit last year. I do think Dan Quinn takes that very seriously. And I think a guy like Gage can contribute immediately in that regard. And as you pointed out, add a nice injection of athleticism to that unit that maybe was a little bit lacking last year. So definitely something to keep an eye on. And also, let's see if Dan Quinn keeps him at wide receiver. Dan has been known to like to try to convert guys from receiver back to corner, so we'll have to keep our eye on that. All right, last pick, and this one also was in the sixth round, and I'm going to massacre this name, and I apologize in advance. It's a linebacker, let's see here, out of Yale. So high education degree here, guys. I'm going to say Foyesade Olukun. I probably did not get that right, but that's as close as it's going to get from me.
That's close enough. Yeah, that's close enough.
So real quick on this guy, obviously comes out of Yale. Had an amazing pro day. Gina, I'll let you speak to that in just a second. I think fans were looking to see if they're going to add a little bit more depth at linebacker, and they certainly did in this draft pick. So Gina, you've written a little bit about him and already seen some of the write-ups on him. What are your thoughts on this last pick for the Falcons draft class?
I actually love it. I think that actually I stumbled across his pro day numbers when I was writing up the pre-draft interview that I did with Robert Afrié, who came out of Colgate and, you know, was at the same pro day. I think that it's very interesting if you look at his numbers, because this is sort of a prototypical Thomas Dimitroff pick. Like, this guy is pure athleticism. His pro day numbers would have put him in the top 10 at the combine among linebackers, you know, if he would have performed the same way. It was, you know, very impressive, just a real athletic specimen. Like you said, went to Yale, which you might have heard is a good damn school. So I'm assuming that this guy is also extremely intelligent. And on top of that, he actually got after it on the field. Like, he had 3 sacks last year. He's had a bunch of tackles for loss. So this guy, to me, I love this pick. I think that he has real potential early on, especially on special teams. But what I see this pick is like, they're like, okay, Thomas, you did a really good job. You didn't do anything crazy. You didn't trade up a bunch of times or do anything mm-hmm. ridiculous. And you actually made smart picks. You can pick the pure athletic specimen that you want. Here you go. Have this pick.
Here it is.
So, because he really is like a prototypical Dimitroff guy, but I think he's a great addition. Like, I think he has a very high ceiling. That athleticism is hard to argue with. And I think he's really a steal, just because if you look at those numbers compared to guys who, you know, went obviously much higher in the draft than he did, you see a real comparison. So
yep,
I'm impressed.
Eric, your thoughts?
You know, I'm pretty much repeating what she said. I mean, he's just an athlete at this point. You know, he's right around 6'1", maybe a shade under 230. So he's an undersized linebacker, and he's he can play between linebacker, and he can also play strong safety at times too as well. But you go back and look at his pro day numbers. He ran a 4.4, 37-inch vertical. And I believe his 20-yard shuttle was 4.12 seconds, and that would have made him the second fastest linebacker at the combine in that category. So he has the numbers. And like Gina said, you know, on tape, you know, at Yale he was productive. He was pretty much everywhere. If you go back and look at it, he was pretty much the engine of the defense there. So this sounds like a Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff draft pick, where they just get a guy who's athletic and checks the boxes. And again, he's another special teams body. In my opinion, with the signing of Justin Bethel, the drafting of Russell Gage, and the drafting of Olukun, special teams is much better now. It's much better than it was a month ago.
I do just want to say one more thing about him, just because I saw a tweet come across my timeline. Dan Quinn apparently just said that he has played safety, corner, and linebacker. So there's that versatility too. Like, really, this guy checks every single box on, you know, the Dimitroff sheet. So,
So Eric, you're dead on about the potential of fitting in at safety as well. Which makes a lot of sense. And I think safety was a position that many Falcons fans were asking about in this draft class. And to your point, they may have now killed two birds with one stone with this guy. So I think there's a lot to like about this pick. as you mentioned, it's the old NFL adage, you can't teach speed. And this guy apparently has it in spades. Very intriguing prospect, as you both mentioned. I think, you know, he'll earn his marks on special teams initially. But Eric, fantastic point. If you look at the 2018 NFL draft for the Falcons, you can see a ton of potential for them to make a drastic improvement, at least in the athleticism of what they're going to be having on special teams now. This is a very, very intriguing unit. And I personally am excited to see how these guys perform come camp time. So, Gina, I'll go to you for some closing thoughts. Your thoughts on day three for the Falcons.
I freaking love this draft class. That's pretty much all I have. Like, top to bottom, I really don't have an argument with any pick. I think that they address needs. I think that they did it without giving up a ton of worthwhile draft capital. Like, giving up 2 7th-round picks, you're giving up two guys who may not even make the team. Like, maybe right. At best are going to be practice squad. It's inconsequential. And they use those picks to actually get players who could make the roster and contribute at least on special teams. So I love it. I mean, I love everything about it. I think that they absolutely nailed it. We'll see if these guys play up to their potential, but on paper, this may be their best draft class yet.
Awesome. Eric, your thoughts?
It's a small class. I would love to have a large number class, like, you know, what the Browns have with 12, 13 players, but hey, I can't complain too much. But one thing is for sure, they made the best out of this small class. And this roster is definitely a lot more athletic. The positions of need coming into it were addressed. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Dan Quinn does with this group. Let's keep in mind as well, the undrafted free agents that are coming up, there are going to be a ton of them. So Quinn and Dimitroff are not done. So, but this is a great start here.
Yeah, and I think the one word you hit there, which I want to highlight for my thoughts, is athletic. This is something that in past draft classes before Quinn got here that we didn't necessarily see the Falcons invest a lot in, but it has certainly changed in the 3 years. Now that this is the fourth draft class for Dan Quinn as head coach, but you can see the emphasis on these guys who can get after it, these guys who've got that high level of athleticism, the speed, the quickness, the power. And it's exciting because at the very least, you can see where these guys can contribute immediately on special teams. But you can also see where with some development, there is the potential for some of these guys to turn into decent starters or rotational guys in the long term. Very excited with what they've done in this draft class. And I think, you know, just chalk it up to another successful and at least, you know, ultimately it's going to be played out on the field. But purely from, as you mentioned, addressing needs, Gina's point to not reaching for guys, taking them where they came. I think this was a very well-handled draft class for the Atlanta Falcons. So with that said, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Eric, thank you so much for joining Gina and I at last second for this podcast.
Oh, no problem.
You doing that. And thank you very much for all of your work along with the rest of the Falcoholic staff who, guys, they absolutely killed it at thefalcoholic.com with draft coverage this weekend. Gina Thomas, Kevin Knight, Eric, Adnan, the whole crew. Guys, you did a phenomenal job with the draft coverage this year. Couldn't be more proud of the crew at the Falcoholic, the absolute best crew under SB Nation's NFL umbrella. And that's just in my humble opinion. So for Gina Madeline Thomas, Eric Robinson, this is David Walker. Thanking you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.